As with any occupation, there are a few basic common sense rules that realtors need to follow to create an aura of professionalism. There are a few finer points, too, that go beyond punctuality and returning phone calls promptly. Today, we welcome two experienced real estate brokers who lay out the expectations for realtor etiquette. Join us for our conversation with Jenny Moorhead and Jennifer DeRozier, beginning right now.
Welcome to the Royal Palmcast, the show about everything real estate with a personal touch. From the production studios of the Royal Palm Coast Realtor Association in Fort Myers, Florida, here's your host, Jim Sandville.
Welcome to the Royal Palmcast. I am indeed your host, Jim Sandville, here as always from the studios of the Royal Palm Coast Realtor Association in beautiful, sunny Fort Myers, Florida. And this is the show where we talk about real estate, every single aspect of it. We talk about it mainly from the point of view of the realtors and other real estate professionals. But also, if you are a home buyer, a home seller, or a home dweller, you will very likely learn something that will make you a more savvy and informed consumer. So we welcome you to the podcast. Thanks for finding us. And sitting to my right, as usual, is Mr. Jerry Johnson. Hey, Jerry.
Hey, Jim. Good morning to you.
How are you?
I'm just great.
What are you chugging on there? Coffee?
Is that
coffee?
Doesn't that sound sincere? Yes, it is coffee.
Yeah, so we want to get right into it today because we have got a couple of great guests who are going to talk about a topic that is super important to every real estate professional. That's real estate etiquette and ethics. And we've got a couple of experts from our professional development committee here at the Royal Palm Coast Realtor Association. I'd like to welcome to the studio two Jennifers, Jennifer DeRozier.
Hi, everyone.
And Jenny Moorhead.
Hi, everyone. How are you?
I think I can speak for everyone out there in podcast land and say they're doing great because they found the Royal Palmcast and they're going to learn about realtor ethics and etiquette from a couple of pros. Now, both of you have been in the real estate business a while. Jen DeRozier, how long have you been doing this?
I'm going on 12 years.
12 years. You were broker-owner at Rose Tree Realty.
That's right.
Now, I know that you're in Boqueria and Cape Coral. Where do you consider your office?
My office is in Cape Coral.
Cape Coral.
Soon to be moving over the bridge toward downtown Fort Myers.
Wow, you got a new location.
Exciting.
We're breaking that news here?
Yes.
Wow.
Yes.
Congratulations.
Well, thank you.
You're growing?
Yes, and I've grown Rose Tree very slow and steady because I did not want to crash and burn. So, yeah, it's been about 3 years, and it's time.
Started in a corner of your living room, perhaps.
And, that's right. opposite my music room for a long time.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Very cool. And Jenny Moorhead, you are the owner and broker at Cornerstone Coastal Properties of Fort Myers, correct?
That is correct.
I thought so. Yes. Tell me about your real estate experience.
I've actually been a broker and realtor in this area for about 35 years now. So we opened our office in 07, right at the crash, and we've systematically just grown it as well. We kind of focus on a hyper-local market. And our office is in Fort Myers.
Do you have a second office? Or
we do not.
Do not, okay. But you cover the whole of Southwest Florida, but you really specialize in downtown Fort Myers, I know, is an area where you've got some expertise, right?
We can kind of control the McGregor Corridor. That's kind of been our focus. Our agents specialize all over Fort Myers, and we do have a rental department actually based out of Cape Coral. So we've kind of focused a lot on that as well.
What do you consider the McGregor Corridor from downtown to
College Parkway?
Uh-huh. Oh, it's a good stretch of McGregor, which is one of the more famous streets here in Fort Myers, lined with royal palm trees first planted by Mr. Thomas Edison, as local aficionados know. So let's get right into the topic at hand, real estate ethics and etiquette. Could either one of you just lay the groundwork for why this is important and where the structure around this came from?
Jay? Well, I think that it's been a pretty big focus during our time on the Professional Development Committee, because especially in a market as heated as ours, realtors seem to get so caught up in the win and the competition that they forget that it can be a cooperative and should be a cooperative experience peer-to-peer.
Now, the rules are codified or not by NAR? There are documents that say you must follow these rules if you're a realtor?
Well, we have our code of ethics.
Right.
And then I think etiquette kind of goes a professional etiquette, maybe a step beyond.
Yeah. A lot of that would come from mentoring, I would guess, right?
Mostly you're trained on that with your broker. Any good broker is going to have these conversations with their agent when they join and, you know, discuss, you know, this is the way you should handle things. If they're experienced agents, you just want to reinforce this is our company policy, not necessarily, you know, they may have learned a different way.
Yeah.
But with the code of ethics, obviously, you know, we're all bound as members of the board to follow the code of ethics.
Right.
But I think it crosses over oftentimes, and especially in our very busy market that we're dealing with right now, you know, you're getting multiple offers, you're getting 25 showing calls, you know, people are getting text messages and voicemails, and, you know, they get frustrated when they don't get a phone call back. Mm-hmm. And I experienced this recently. I received a phone call, a voicemail, from an agent who left a voicemail swearing on the voicemail about me not answering the phone and how was she supposed to get an answer.
Wow.
And I called her back like 20 minutes later because it was a new listing. There were, you know, 84 showings in 2 days, probably 50 phone calls. And when I called her back, I said, you know, I'm really sorry. Did I miss a text message or an email, or did you call earlier and I didn't get back to you because I felt terrible? And she said, no, well, nobody answers their phone these days. And I said, I'm going to try and use this as a coaching moment for you. I wouldn't recommend doing that. That voicemail, one, isn't going to encourage anyone to want to talk to you. But you're burning bridges in a market that you really need these realtors to be your friend and your advocate for your client.
Sure.
So, you know, another broker might call and just complain to the board because that's what they always do. But, you know, I just tried to use it as a coaching moment for someone to say, I know you're frustrated. Like, we're all frustrated. We've all been there. But just take a deep breath, relax, be nice, be polite, and it will get you further.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is obviously a super hot market. Probably the hottest it's ever been. Is that fair to say?
Well, it certainly is for me. I was here in 05, 06, and this is a completely different market from that.
Yeah, yeah. And I know, Jennifer DeRozier, you are definitely busy.
Oh, my gosh. Well, I came in right when you opened your doors. I was coming in as an unlicensed assistant, or maybe a little before then. So I came in at the very bottom and watched it kind of stabilize. And so to be rooting for the comeback and then be reveling in the nice balanced, you know, 6 months of inventory and everything's good, and think like, oh, okay, gosh, we finally rebounded, to go to this where it's, you know, there's nothing available, and as soon as it hits, and I think like Jenny was saying, for a market with 9,000 plus realtors, it's very, very small in our community, and you wouldn't think that you'd cross paths over and over again, but you do have to be very conscientious, because the realtor that you lose your temper with is definitely going to have something listed down the line that you're going to want to show.
So I'll start arbitrarily with Jennifer DeRozier here, since you were on my right and you're wearing blue, and I love blue. Not true. I do like blue, but that's beside the point. We won't get into my color preferences. Jennifer DeRozier, what are the hot issues you're seeing, not only within your group of agents who work with you, but in the general community in terms of etiquette issues? What's pushing people's buttons?
So people, in my experience, are taking everything personally. And look, I am definitely a lead by the heart person. I am very invested in the success of my customers, and I really fight for their stories in that. So I understand it. But I mean, when you've got something, like I had a rehab property, and so obviously tons of offers, and I'm advocating for this woman who this home is all she has to go on. So we really have to be careful when we're choosing, right? And she went with what she went with, and people are just threatening and being very rude. They're just taking everything personally, and I think it's a good opportunity to remind people it's not a reflection on you or your offer. You presented beautifully. I appreciate you. But at the end of the day, the seller has their own story and their own needs. And
so who's being threatening? The seller?
The buyer's agents.
The buyer's agents
are being
threatened.
They get so offended on behalf of their customer.
Right.
And I appreciate the passion. But, I mean, the sell, it's out of my hands after a certain point. I present everything, and then it's not appropriate for me to lead and tell my seller what to choose. Yeah. I mean, that's a violation in and of itself.
Yeah, everybody's kind of amped up. It's like we got to get rid of Red Bull for a while, right?
It's true. Yeah. It's true, yeah.
Yeah, Jenny Moorhead, what are you seeing for hot issues around etiquette and ethics?
I've been seeing some agents when you go to show property and there's four agents at the property and they're all walking all over each other instead of patiently waiting or asking the agent, do you mind if I come in? Like one agent was doing just a video tour. He was fine. He said, told the other couple to come in. Like it's not affecting him. But when you've got two buyers and two agents, like the respectful and courteous thing to do is let the other agent know you're there during your time frame, and please let us know when you're done, and you just kind of form a line. If the agent gives you the permission to come in, that's great, but that's their time. And you, in this market, you just kind of have to be patient and go with it. And I'm seeing a lot of people just barging in and, you know, trying to be on a schedule and go through this, and you just have to be more patient in this market, and there's no way around it.
Yeah.
And then they don't lock doors, and then they leave sliders open or the lights on, and, you know, it's all of those things that, you know, I had to go back and check a couple of listings for one of my agents happened to be out of town, so I was helping to cover, and I went back. The sliding glass door was cracked open. The front door was locked, but the back door to the garage was wide open. So it's like, you know, you're in a hurry with your client and you go to leave and you forget something, they need to take the patience to go back through, make sure doors are shut, make sure they're locked, make sure the house is secure. That's your responsibility.
Sure, it seems pretty basic, common sense.
Just like common courtesy.
Common courtesy,
sure.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, I want to tread carefully here, but do you see a difference among older versus younger agents?
I don't necessarily know the and I don't know that I necessarily know the demographic of the agent that's showing when I'm in there.
That's a good point.
I just, because I'm not necessarily there for the showing. But
yeah. Now, compared to 3, 4, 5 years ago, has things gotten worse, better, same?
Some things are better. Some things are way worse.
What's better?
Relationships with some agents, if you've been in the business for a long time. And I think brokers have gotten better about coaching and teaching agents the right thing to do. Now, whether the agent listens or not, that's a whole other story. But I do think brokers seem to be more involved. And any of the larger big brokerages, like I know when I get an offer over from, you know, certain companies, I know there's not going to be an issue with the offer. Like everything's complete because they've been coached and trained. So I do find with smaller, you know, 1-2 person brokerages, they may not necessarily have as much training. So, and I'll help them and coach them through, but I will find there's more things missing.
Yeah. Jennifer, do you see the same trend from your experience?
I do, and I completely agree. When you know right away when you're working with a seasoned or a well-trained professional, whether they're presenting or listing, because all of the T's are crossed, I's are dotted, and they understand how important it is to be collaborative and to understand that it doesn't have to be adversarial.
So experience is a big factor.
Experience and training. And I think that you're right. I think the first question I get when agents talk to me, because I am a really small brokerage, and so you've got both sides of the coin here with your two Jennifers here. And that's the first thing they say is, how are you able to train me if I'm new? And the only benefit to that is that I worked for a much larger brokerage for so long, and I was able to learn. But I think you're right. The majority of the smaller ones throw a shingle out and try to just, you know, fly by the seat of their pants, and it shows in the work, and it's so crucial. Like, I think people forget, they were saying membership is up and applications to become licensed are up because people see that it's a hot market and they think they can make some quick money. But you're playing with people's lives, hundreds of thousands of dollars, and the ability to give someone access to the home that they chose to go for. And if you're not cautious and respectful of that, I mean, I just think it's so careless.
When you're onboarding new people or even coaching the current agents who work with you, how do you manage their expectations around, especially with a new person, what you're likely to achieve in your first year, 2 years?
That is hard because especially with a new person coming in right now, you can tell them, all day, you know, it takes time. I always say it's like stirring a pot because I love to cook. So I'm like, you really have to just keep stirring, wait for it to start to bubble, and then once it bubbles, just tend to it, and that's how you have continued success. But it takes time to grow to where you're actually boiling. And then they'll come in and say, I quit my job, I'm ready. And I'm like, oh, no. Pressure's on.
Yeah, Jenny.
What about you?
Yeah, Jenny, you and I were talking about folks who maybe watch a little HGTV and have pretty high expectations going into the real estate business, especially in a glamorous sort of market like this.
Well, I think that the agents do see that, oh, it's very busy and I need to get in now because this is a great time to sell real estate. It's actually probably the most difficult time to be a buyer's agent in this market because the competition is so fierce.
And the inventory is so low.
Inventory is low. Multiple buyers. There's multiple offers on properties. You know, I just had one of my agents call me today and, you know, asked me a question, said, you know, I got an offer in. I submitted it to the seller. But before the seller signed it, another offer came in that was better. He just wants to take it. And he said, I know that the other buyer's agent's going to be upset, and what do I do? I said, it's not your choice. It's a seller's choice. And, you know, so that's what he did. And there seems to be a misperception or perceived conception that you have to call for highest and best. There's no rule that says a seller has to call for highest and best. If they like the terms of the contract, they can just sign the contract. Mm. And quite honestly, in this market, if you're not submitting your highest and best, then your agent isn't advocating right for you because it is a very tight market and this is not the time to be trying to lowball get a deal. It's time is of the essence. Waiting a couple days could mean you lose a house. So, you know, the other thing I'm having with agents that I hear is read the confidential remarks. Realtors, please, please take the time to read the listing and read the confidential remarks. I can't tell you how many calls I get about this or that. And I'm like, I'm going to be polite, but did you happen to read the confidential remarks? Well, no, I didn't get there. I just saw the listing and called you. Everything that she asked me was in the confidential remarks, and all the documents are uploaded, and check the uploaded documents. Most of the agents are uploading all the things you need to submit with the offer. Include them with your offer. Make sure it's complete.
Jenny, I want to circle back to something you said a few minutes ago about situations where there are multiple buyers looking at a home at the same time. I know as a buyer, I would feel uncomfortable. You know, I'd be sizing up, who are these people? They think they're going to get this house. No, I'm going to get it, especially in a hyper-competitive market. Is it fair to a buyer to bring them in when there's someone else in the same room?
You shouldn't. You should be knocking on the door. Like if I go, or what I've told my agents, if you go to a property, there's another car there, ask the buyers to wait outside. You go to the door, knock on the door, just to let the agent know you're there. Open the door and tell the agent, just want to let you know we're here. We'll wait outside when you're done. And let them give you the cue to say, it's okay, I'm just doing a video tour. Like you don't know. For both people, it's just respectful to wait for the other people, give them their time so they can make their comments, look at it, figure out if it's for them or not, and then move on.
Gotcha. Jennifer, any insights?
Nope, that's exactly what I do. Yeah. That's exactly right. And I think that before it was so hot, that was the norm. I remember being trained on this like 10, 12 years ago when I was brand new. And they'd say, if you see a car in the driveway, just knock, let them know you're here, and then step back and wait. You never intrude on someone else's showing. And all of a sudden, it's this like bullish, crazy time where people just... It's so fiercely competitive that you forget that, we're all in the same boat. We should be empathizing with each other.
Interesting. Okay. We are right up against a break here, so we're going to take just a quick minute, and we'll be right back after this.
Hi, I'm Bill Risser, and you're listening to the Royal Palmcast with Jim and Jerry. This place is amazing.
Hi, I'm Caroline Boland, and you're listening to the Royal Palmcast.
Hi, this is Bob Wade, and you're listening to the Royal Palmcast.
Do you know a student who could use help with college tuition? Well, if you're a realtor and you have children, this may be for you. The Royal Palm Coast Realtor Association has announced the creation of the Kevin Williamson Scholarship Program for sons and daughters of realtors who are pursuing higher education. To qualify, students must be Florida residents and have at least one parent who's a realtor. Scholarships start at $1,000, and applicants are judged based on extracurricular activities, financial need, and other criteria. This program is named in memory of our late president-elect, Kevin Williamson, who is well known in the community for his generous support of those in need. For eligibility and criteria information, visit the rpcra.org website. Click on the magnifying glass search icon, type in scholarship, and press enter. Then click on scholarship from results. We wish the best of luck to all. We hope you're enjoying the Royal Palmcast, a production of the Royal Palm Coast Realtor Association, your association for realtor resources, services, and education in Southwest Florida. We're committed to the success of all our members and advocate for property rights, both commercial and residential. We continue our efforts educating and influencing policymakers at all levels about issues important to realtors and homeowners. RPCRA also leads the way with community involvement, market analysis, and member engagement, all of which contribute to a superior realtor experience. With two convenient locations in Fort Myers and Cape Coral, the staff of RPCRA is here for you. You'll find us online at rpcra.org and across social media, including Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, LinkedIn, Instagram, SoundCloud, and all major podcast apps. Be sure to subscribe, like, share, and follow us to stay current on all our upcoming classes and events. Now, back to Jim Sandville and the Royal Palmcast.
Welcome back to the Royal Palmcast. I'm Jim Sandville along with Jerry Johnson.
Hello.
And our guest today, Jennifer DeRozier from Rose Tree Realty in Cape Coral and Jenny Moorhead from Cornerstone Coastal Properties in Fort Myers. Today we're talking ethics with these two experts. They both have a bunch of agents working under them, so they have they hear all the stories and coach their staffs, of course, offer some mentoring, especially during the onboarding when you get a chance to really mold the agent to the ethical side of things, which is where we all want to be in this business. One thing that I know buyers and sellers both expect from realtors is communication, fast, frequent communication. Is that something that you find realtors are not providing?
I think it is often overlooked right now. I think that realtors seem to be so busy that there's a sense of, oh, I'll get to that later. I know I get a lot of next day or day after phone calls or emails like, oh, I meant to get back to you, but... And I mean, you're human. I think that when it's peer-to-peer, if you're not dealing with an offer situation, it's a little more understandable. I think when it's your customer, buyer or seller, and they call or text or email, I mean, I expect my agents to get right back as quickly as they can.
Do you have a standard, you know, within X minutes if you're not busy with another client, that kind of thing?
My go-to is if you can't answer, text and explain why, and then call them as soon as you are available.
Are buyers and sellers preferring text messages over phone calls these days, or phone calls still the main way to communicate?
What I found is it depends on your age. I think it's generational. I think that younger people hate phone calls, won't answer phone calls.
Right.
They also don't like email anymore. It's text or nothing.
Sure. Yep.
I have one customer that specifically communicates through Facebook Messenger, which I did not have alerts on for, and then I had to go and figure that out.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then if it's my more experienced, seasoned customers, phone call only. Most of them don't text.
Old school, huh?
One person required me to go purchase a fax machine.
That is old school.
Yeah.
What's that?
I downloaded it onto my phone.
Yeah, and if you deal with international buyers, I'm guessing that WhatsApp is their method of choice, right? That's the platform they're on. Jenny Moorhead, what are your thoughts about communication with customers and how that should go?
Well, as I've talked to a lot of my agents about, because a lot of people do still text message, and that's their easiest form of communication. They have their phone. They might be at work. They might not be able to talk. What I tell agents to do is if your client's texting you, you need to follow up with an email to confirm kind of what's going on, because the problem is these text messages go away. And then if there is a problem, you have no documentation. So I'm not a fan of text messaging. I know there's a lot of it that goes on. I'm a big email, put it in writing person.
So you dissuade your agents from using text?
For details relating to contracts and things like that, yes. Mm-hmm. I tell them, you know, even walkthroughs. Like I had an agent who went to do her final walkthrough, and the agent had, she had emailed the agent requesting it. He had texted her approval. She did email back saying, okay, I'll be there at such and such a time. She went over to do the walkthrough. The seller must have had a camera still going, and the seller calls screaming that she didn't have permission to be in the house. And fortunately, she had all the documentation, but, you know, people aren't communicating. Either the agent didn't communicate with the seller, something got lost in the process. And, you know, you just want to make sure that you have all your bases covered, because people are, you know, things are heightened right now. People are a little bit more on edge, and they just, you know, they want an answer. They want to know what's going on. And certainly in multiple offers, it's so difficult. You know, this one property had 22 offers on it in 2 days. Mm. You know, it was a whole spreadsheet that had to be made to have a conversation with the seller on how they're going to, you know, go about it. And in this particular case, the seller took a lower priced offer, but the terms were better. So, of course, when I let the agent know that had the higher offer that, you know, they'd selected another offer, and she's like, well, you got somebody who was willing to pay more than that. I'm like, well, I can't discuss the details. Just understand that the seller took an offer that had better terms and conditions that worked for them.
Mm.
That's all you can say.
Yeah. Yeah. Also looking at it from the buyer or seller perspective, so agents dealing with their clients. So one pet peeve that I have, and I don't think I'm alone here, is if I'm having a conversation, especially about business with someone, and their phone is on, and they're, hang on, yep, and it's my wife wants me to pick up some bread on the way home. What do you tell your agents about their phone being on or off when they're working?
I'm an absolutely not. Absolutely not. If you are devoting your time and you've set an appointment, then that's when the ringer goes off, and maybe in between houses, check quick, send a quick text back, something, or change your voicemail, send an email, whatever. But if you've made an appointment, your time belongs to those people. And that's how you build trust and loyalty.
I was having dinner with a friend recently, and we're having a relaxing, fun dinner, nice conversation, and his phone starts buzzing, and he just stops mid-sentence and starts chatting. I think it was his children or something about a new car they bought. And I, hello, you know, that's not cool. how about you, Jenny? Do you have to coach your folks? Or do you find that they get it, that you should have your phone off?
I think I've instilled enough in them and preached at about every office meeting that, you know, courtesy to your client comes first and foremost. And I always use the same example when I talk to them. I had a situation with my children. My husband and I, the guy I live with actually, but we went to dinner with some other friends of ours and my daughter and her friend. Nice dinner. It was for birthday. Went out. And the comment I got from the couple that were with us was, I can't tell you how nice it was to see a 20-something-year-old. Neither one of them had their phone out the entire dinner. And people notice that. They recognize it. Yeah. So I, you know, explained to the agents, it's the same thing. Your clients are looking at you. And sometimes you do have to get on your phone and text message that something's going on and, you know, whatever. Because oftentimes if you're in a higher end home, they'll require agent accompany. So you have to text the agent, hey, we're just finishing up. We're on our way. But if you explain to the client you're with, hey, give me just 1 minute. The next house requires the agent to text me on her way. Give me 2 seconds. Let me let her know we're getting ready to leave here so that she can be there on time. There's a way to explain that, but just to sit there having conversations is totally inappropriate.
Now, how about another really basic thing? How about realtors dressing the part? How important is that, rather?
You know, I train my agents, and I always try to bring that up. Most of my agents are newer, and they are mixed bagged as far as age. But for my younger agents especially, who have limited income right now, I don't want them to feel stressed or pressured to go out and buy a whole new wardrobe. But by the same token, you have to understand that you're representing yourself, you're representing Rose Tree, and you are sort of, you're the physical manifestation, right, of this whole dream of home ownership. So if you go and you show up and you're wearing, you know, grubby, torn jeans and dirty sneakers, they're going to look at you and you don't look professional. They're not going to have as much, even if it's subconscious, they won't have as much faith in your ability as a professional.
But certainly there may be times when the agent is at a softball game playing softball and gets a text message and has to go immediately. Yeah, that's
oh gosh, and I've right? and I've done that, and it's yeah. one of those things where I'll warn my customers. If I have someone who's been looking, and they call me and say like, "Oh my gosh, I found the perfect house. Can you please show it to me right now?" And I'm like, "Yep, I'm at my kids' fall family weekend. I can drive back. I will be there in 3 hours. I need you to know what I'm wearing if I'm going to embarrass you." No, I can send someone else. I don't care what you look like. Just get here. You know.
Sure. Yeah, people are human. They get it, right. I think. Jenny, do you articulate a dress code for your agents?
We actually have one in our policy manual at the office.
What is it?
And, you know, basically to just dress professionally. You know, shorts, given the circumstances, are okay, but make sure you're clean, presented well. You know, you look nice. You know, we prefer longer pants or a dress or a skirt, depending on, you know, male or female. But that's kind of the conversation we try and tell people when you're going out in the public. Now, certainly once you've, on the first meeting, it's much more important. Once you've built the rapport with your client, that changes. Because oftentimes if you're going out on a weekend or you're doing something, the client's in their, you know, sundress, their shorts, and they're like, please don't get dressed up for us because it makes us feel bad that we're making you work on the weekend. So it's usually a let your client be your guide kind of tool, and if they have requested something for you to dress down, then do it. I mean, they want to feel comfortable, so you want to make them feel comfortable.
But the idea of a professional dressing professionally has changed over the years. It doesn't mean a suit and tie and a
right.
and a fedora or whatever you wore in the 1940s. It's a whole different thing now for both men and women, right? So is it
become golf shorts or? You know, you're selling golf course communities. Golf shorts are
especially
the norm.
In Florida.
Sure.
You're right.
Yeah, green ones preferably.
If you're on Sanibel, you know, flip-flops and shorts are kind of, and a, you know, Tommy Bahama shirt are kind of the norm out there. I mean, it really depends on your clientele. You have to dress for where you're at. But certainly showing up in a sloppy, unironed shirt or, you know, a tear in your shorts, or it's just bad.
Mm-hmm. Let the record show that both Jennifers are very professionally dressed today. Very impressive. Jerry and I, on the other hand,
I don't know. We don't clean up very well.
Yeah,
but we try. That's why we don't do video on this show yet.
Yeah, told you not to wear the gym shorts, Jerry. Yeah. Boy, shh. Anyway, you know, another thing that I find from time to time in any professional realm is people aren't listening. People aren't letting me, as the customer, vent if that's what I need to do, or explain my needs and wants, and they've got a preconceived notion of here's what I'm going to tell them. Do you find that people listen? The agents.
Do the agents listen to their customers?
Yeah, and are they asking the right probing questions to follow up?
I mean, I hope so. The way that I approach it with my training is to. Sort of provide the platform for your customer, ask them the right questions, like find out what motivates them, whether they're buying or selling, find out a little bit about their personal style. You shouldn't be leading the conversation. And that's something that I think evolves as you grow as a professional. I think when you're younger, newer, you feel like you have to sell yourself. Some of that imposter syndrome is in there. And I think that it takes that coaching and training to make them understand, like, you know, the way that you're going to be chosen is if the person that you're talking to feels heard and valued and understood. And so listening is probably one of the best tools to gain trust.
Yeah, Jenny, do you find listening skills are what they need to be?
I just wish they'd take more notes.
Ah.
Mm-hmm. So I do find with younger generation, they do listen, but I don't know how much is being retained. because there seems to be this adversity to like note taking, whether it be on a tablet. You know, I get that you might take notes on your phone because that's what you do now. Or maybe you don't write it down because you're not old school. I'm old school. I have a notepad for everything. I have a checklist of stuff I have to do. But
me too.
Yeah. But I do find that, you know, you can only retain so much. And maybe it's because I'm old now. But I find I retain less. And if I don't write it down, I forget. So I do try and coach that with people and say, you know, when you're meeting with people and they're giving you information, you know, if you're uncomfortable saying, I'd rather take some notes and write it down. Like if you're afraid you don't want to offend them because you're writing notes, then just let them know, you know, I don't want to miss something. So let me take a few notes while we're talking.
Yeah.
And I think more of that should be done. And I see a little less of that. But
how about the another pet peeve of mine? And again, I think everybody be on time. If you're an agent, you should show up on time, or on time is probably late.
A few minutes
right.
Early.
Right.
A few minutes
so,
early.
And you were, let the record show, you were both early today. How important is that, and are you seeing that agents are not always punctual?
I have had good luck. My agents, I mean, one of them worked as a social worker before she became a realtor, and so she is probably earlier than I am to everything. She's outstanding about that. She's probably gold star. But yeah, in my experience, even on my showings, people have been pretty punctual. When they're not, though, I'm not seeing phone calls. So when you run behind, like that's the other side to it. Back to that etiquette is the majority of people I'm finding have been coming on time or trying really hard to, but I very rarely get a call or a heads up if their appointment has to be pushed. And that's when you run into multiple people at one listing in spite of having that buffer there where I don't allow overlap. And then it kind of steamrolls, because then you have disgruntled buyers that thought they had a private showing, and you have, you know, threatened buyers' agents who are trying to like look professional. And so, yeah, I think it's really helpful. Just remember to call if you're running behind.
Jenny, any thoughts about punctuality?
I think that agents have tried to do better. I saw less of it before when people were running late because there weren't multiple showings, that they were just figuring, well, if I'll get there when I get there. If I'm 15 minutes late, it's no big deal. I actually think they've been better because of this than they were before. At least that's what I've experienced. It's a difficult balance. You know, you want to make sure you communicate, and but you can also call and tell them you're running late, and if they don't answer the phone because they're doing something, you've tried, but, you know.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Before we wrap up, I want to put each of you on the spot, if you don't mind.
Oh, boy.
Good.
And ask for your 30-second or so elevator pitch. If you've got a new agent that has never worked elsewhere before, and you want to make sure you drive the point home about etiquette and ethics and how important those very basic things are, what would you tell the agent?
I would tell them that it is a very small community here in Southwest Florida, and you need good relationships with your peers in this industry, because it's all about deal making. You're not competitors as much as you are two people trying to bring together two people. And it's just too important to let your ego get in the way. You know, be open to learning, be open to building.
Good stuff. Jenny?
I'm just going to have to ditto what she says, because I completely agree. It's about building. The market right now is more relationship with realtor driven than it has ever been. And, you know, realtors talk, they try and put deals together. If they have an agent who isn't submitting all their documents, and you have one that's fully completed set of documents, and you have one that just submitted the offer, no proof of funds, no other things, it's a hard sell to a seller, because you're sitting there telling your seller, okay, well, this one's all complete. I need to call and get this other information. It makes the realtor look unprofessional. So the seller automatically loses faith. So they will automatically weigh the completed contract over the one that's missing documents.
Well, we are running out of time. And by the way, the reason I say we're running out of time is not because on a podcast we can't go on longer. We could, but we have, and Jerry, you'll remember this, we have a listener, one of our staunchest listeners, who told me one day, I just tried to finish the show, but I couldn't. I used to time the choose the show because my morning commute was the same as the length of your standard show, which is 35-ish minutes. Yeah. And I want to make sure we wrap things up before...
Drive slower.
This person, X, we'll call her, finishes her morning commute. So this is for you, X. Jenny, how can people get in touch with you if they need to or want to?
I'm available by phone. My cell phone's 239-671-2227. You can always call our office, too, at 239-989-0111. Debbie, my office manager, who's literally been with me for over 25 years, is always there.
And your website?
CornerstoneCoastal.com.
Perfect. Jennifer?
You can come and find me on any of my social media channels. It's Jennifer DeRozier Realtor on Instagram or Facebook or rosetreerealty.com. And yeah.
And DeRozier is DeRozierS, correct?
I'm stunned, yes.
Stunned?
I didn't even see you look down.
That's Mr. Research right there.
I can even spell Moorhead, M-O-1-O-R-E-H-E-A-D.
Incorrect.
Incorrect.
Two O's at the beginning.
Two O's, no E, but that's okay.
All right, check that. No, I'm humbled. I'm humbled.
I'm most impressed at Jen's ability for social media because that is not my forte.
She's very good. Yeah. So, Jerry, I want to thank you for doing a great job again today.
Will I try to spell my name?
Hey, I'm drawing a blank, Jerry. Drawing a blank.
Just call me Jay. Hey, we're all J's today. Man. I just noticed that.
That's true. Four J's and a Jill or something. I don't know what that is.
Well, thank you, Jim.
My pleasure. I want to thank you folks for listening. We do appreciate your finding us on your podcast machine. It's always a pleasure to spend a few minutes with you. And I want to thank everybody here on the staff at the Royal Palm Coast Realtor Association for all of their support. We do appreciate that as well. We will look forward to hearing from you, our listeners. If you'd like, send us an email to shows@rpcra.org. And we will look forward to seeing you again next time.
Thanks for listening to the Royal Palmcast. Be sure to listen again every week on your favorite podcast app and visit the Royal Palm Coast Realtor Association website at rpcra.org and our social media pages, including Facebook and our YouTube channel. Check out all of our RPCRA platforms and make sure to subscribe and share. For information about this show or other RPCRA productions, we'd love to hear from you. Email us at shows@rpcra.org. This has been a production of the Royal Palm Coast Realtor Association.